Good morning. Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living, Midtown Atlanta. We are so glad to have you here. We are a spiritual center that welcomes everyone just as God welcomes everyone. No matter what your background, your gender, your sexuality, your politics, or anything else, you're welcome at the center, and we are glad that you're here. You may have noticed that Reverend Bob Dean is not here today. He has taken some well-deserved time off. And we are very pleased to have a guest minister, Reverend Dan Granata from Naples, Florida, speaking to us later in the service. So welcome, everyone. Let's open with our statement of principle. Speak with me, if you will. I believe in one God, one absolute power, and first cause to all things. I believe this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe that all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. Thank you and welcome. I'd like to open with a spiritual mind treatment and a reading. And the reading is coming from a book that's called You Too Can Be Prosperous by Robert Russell. It's a small book, but it's so powerful about prosperity and how we can be prosperous. And in this section, just towards the end of the first chapter, he's talking about the concept of ether. It says, let us return to the consideration of ether. The scientist tells us that it has no specific gravity, so no substance, if you will. It is not derived from anything, but permeates everything. It is the source of all life, power, vibration, heat, light, energy, attraction, gravitation, and repulsion. In short, it is the substance of the form and form of every outer thing, including food, shelter, clothing, and you and I. That was my part. St. Paul, in his letter to the Hebrews centuries ago, explained it by saying this way, what is seen has not been made out of things which do not appear. All things are made out of this one universal substance, ether, which is God. All things that the Father hath is mine. Let me read that again. All things that the Father has is mine. So everything, as St. Paul said, everything is yours. Everything is mine. Everything is ours because we are extensions of God. Can you say those words now with conviction? Universal mind substance is instantly available and responsive to those who have learned how to lay hold upon this consciousness. It is always with us and always responds to our faith. It is not affected by our negative or depressed states. It is always in action, always waiting for our recognition and our acceptance. If you haven't read this book, it's $8 or $9 on Amazon, and it's fabulous. Some friends of mine and I have been studying it, and it's just really a very strong reading on prosperity. Because you are prosperous, and I am prosperous, because we have everything that has been created in this universe for us. So let us move on to a spiritual mind treatment. And to me, what a spiritual mind treatment is simply an affirmative prayer. We call it also treatment. And a prayer that reminds me that I am connected to God. I am connected to the source of all things. That the Creator is what I am an extension of. I'm an extension of that Creator. we treat our own minds to weed out the distractions that get in the way of us manifesting what we desire and deserve. So we state treatment in the first person. If I'm a practitioner, which I am working with you, then I treat my own mind and you treat yours at the same time. So if these words resonate with you, take them on. And if not, just let them go. So let's go into a spiritual mind treatment. Let's relax. It's good to plant your feet on the floor. We're all at home now and enjoying this, but just relax and take a breath. Know these things with me, if you will. There is one source, and that source is God. One creator, one source of everything there is. There is always cause before effect. And first God, cause, was, and is God. God is in everything. God is everything. God is in me and in all who hear my words. God extends itself through me. I have everything that God has to offer. God is the ether, as this writer spoke. God is everything. I know that everything that I need to be prosperous, everything that I desire, I deserve, and God wants me to have it. I know that all I have to do is ask and believe. I know that everything comes to me as I release everything that is not mine. I release all the burdens. I release anything that might get in the way of my being prosperous today, of my life becoming what I truly desire and deserve. And I know this is true, so I just release these words into the universe, knowing that God is everywhere, and God, it wants me to have all that I desire and deserve. I release these words saying that so it is. There's a beautiful psalm by Faith Rivera called to Be.
I'm going to
Wow, that was fantastic. Well, welcome back, everybody. The talks of the month for June have been on the topic of the soul's call. And when Reverend Dean is out, he always arranges great speakers for us, and today is absolutely no exception to that. It's my pleasure to introduce Reverend Dan Granda from Naples, Florida, sharing with us the soul's call to freedom.
Yes, thank you. It is quite the pleasure to be here. I'm really excited about it. Reverend Bob and I get to talk often, and he often shares about the exciting things going on with this community and the intentionality behind what moving forward looks like and how great that's going to be. So I'm really excited to be here and also really excited to be talking on one of my favorite topics, so much so I actually have created, along with two colleagues, an entire ministry around the soul, the evolution of the soul. And so this is quite exciting to be able to be here and talk about that. So in conversation the other day, one of my colleagues brought up this question, something that came out of their journaling. And I thought, wow, what a perfect way for us to kind of dive into this topic. And it was one of those questions that kind of stops you in your tracks, really makes you think and pause and like wonder, what are we really doing? What are we really doing here? So this is the question. Who would you choose to be in the world if you were the one to tip the consciousness of the planet? And so let's just, if we sit with that for a moment, what does that really mean? If you knew you were the one to make the difference in the world, would your life look different? Would you choose to do things different? Would you choose to show up differently? How different would the world look to us if we knew we were the one to make that shift? If by being someone or something or showing up in a way, if we were the one to tip the consciousness of the planet, what would we be doing? And I just, for me, that is the real essence of today's topic, today's title, The Soul's Call to Freedom, because our soul is urging us to do something, to show up in a certain way. And freedom is tied directly into our soul, directly into how we show up, directly into, in fact, this question. But first, I think it's probably important that we kind of define our terms a little bit. What is soul? What is soul in science of mind? What is soul to us? What has our version of soul been like? Has it always meant the same thing? And my guess is probably not. In the science of mind, the soul is a specific thing, but there's a couple of pieces to it that I think are going to be important for us to understand. The first of which is not often called this, but really is in a way the oversoul. And this is soul at the universal level. It is universal medium. It is that which we call law. It is probably most often referred to as law. And this is the soul of the universe, that which allows life to come into being. It is that which creates, and it is that which we utilize when we speak our words into the universe, when we use affirmative mind treatment, spiritual mind treatment, universal law. It has no opinion. It does not necessarily care. It always says yes to whatever we put into it. And yet it is also this unconditional love of life, because it does not have that choice to decide, well, maybe we'll create this, but not that one. Law just says yes. Law has this unconditional love of saying yes to all of life, to all of creation. And so this is, according to Ernest Holmes, is also the soul of the totality of life, in that it is the container for the memory of life, all of consciousness and the way that it has shown up in the 307 billion or something people, or 207 billion people that have ever lived, that consciousness remains within this soul, that the awareness, the thoughts, the beliefs, every thought that has ever been had, every word that's ever been spoken, every action, the memory of every action that has ever existed remains in this oversoul, in the universal soul of life. And that is the same function of law, the same function of the universal medium. And so this plays a lot into how we create in our thoughts, in collective consciousness, in how things show up in front of us, and a lot to do with why the world doesn't always show up in exactly the way we think it should. And so as part of this oversoul is human soul. We are each divinely connected to all that it is, it being source, it also being this universal soul. So human soul is, in a way, it's kind of like our cloud storage. I got a message on my phone the other day that my cloud storage is almost full and I need to upgrade. We need to upgrade to get more cloud storage. And in a way, that's kind of what is happening here, that we have our experiences. We have our, I want to say, slice of the soul. It's not a physical thing, so there's not really a slice, but perhaps the proverbial slice of universal soul that we are each divinely birthed with. We come here with this portion of us that is always connected to the all that there is, the essence of who we are, that piece of us that knows the truth about our being in every moment. And this is that piece of us that is our soul. It is divinely connected in every moment. And so it is kind of that idea that we have a thought here, and that thought plays out, it travels up into our universal cloud storage, and it gets saved and acted upon through this greater computer that is the universe. So our soul is our way of remaining connected in every moment. And that being said, we also have freedom of choice, freedom to live and be and exist in ways that are unique and divine to us. And so this shows up in a lot of ways. And one of the things that Holmes talks about that he got from Thomas Troward, who was one of Holmes's main influences. Holmes has said he got about 50% of his information from Troward. And Holmes talks about the subjective mind, the subconscious mind, at times using them interchangeably and at times not using them interchangeably, meaning two different things. Troward, on the other hand, using them distinctly different. And so I think it's important to recognize this from Holmes' perspective. There is similarity and they do kind of fit into each other, and yet there is a separation. So the subjective mind, also synonymous with universal medium, with law, this portion of the all that there is, that is universal. It is divinely perfect. It is not of form. It is, let's say, beyond form. Even though beyond is not quite accurate, because how can something be beyond when all that there is not of time and space, not of this universe, it is of itself. And so this subjective mind exists as whatever that is greater than time and space. So it is timeless. It does not take up space. It is everything. And it is the history of all. It is this thought. So subjective mind is synonymous with universal medium, in that it houses those memories of everything that exists. And so what's important about this is where our collective consciousness comes from. So in those moments when we unintentionally fall back on what we call default thinking, the thinking of not intentionally making a choice about how we think or feel about something. It's those things that have been kind of trained into us, those things that we perhaps arrived here with, decisions that were made years beyond us, before us, about how we as a culture think and operate and show up and behave. This is all housed in the subjective mind. This is all a filter through which life shows up here for us and actually reflects back to us what it is that we as a collective believe. In addition to this, so right, we have the subjective mind, which is universal. This is according to Troward. And then the subconscious mind, which is local, that is our version, our subconscious thoughts, our subconscious beliefs, our filter for how we individually perceive the world to show up. And what are our thoughts and beliefs, our patterns, our behaviors, our personality? All of this is housed in our subconscious mind. And so when we kind of do things by that default mode, it is our subconscious that shows that way, that kind of informs us how we think life is going to show up. And then, of course, that is acted upon by law. And lo and behold, life does, in fact, show up that way. But we're not always aware of it. So the soul, then, and then this idea of freedom, the soul's push, the soul's urge for us then is to pursue this. The divine urge of the soul is to constantly pursue a path to a greater sense of freedom. And I will add to that for everyone. It is for us to constantly pursue a greater path to freedom for everyone. And honestly, the soul at this point is practically yelling at us to pursue this freedom. If we look at the world around us, we look at, you turn on the TV and there is the pain. There is the world showing up in ways that it has had enough. Our collective consciousness, that which is in the universal soul, has had enough of things maybe used to be accepted, not necessarily acceptable, but were accepted. We commonly accepted things that didn't show up as painful for everyone. All of these things are now showing up in a way where something that is pain somewhere in the world is now pain everywhere in the world. It shows up everywhere. We are so divinely connected, and now we are seeing that we are so worldly connected, globally connected, that it is undeniable how trauma that shows up in one place, pain that shows up in one place, is actually showing up everywhere. It is showing up for all of us. It is something that we can't really deny or even avoid. And this is on purpose. This is the soul's desire, urge, evolution, our evolution, the evolution of our human soul, that is urging us forward to look at what does it mean to be one? What does it mean to be a unity? What does it mean to exist and express as one? And really, it's this urge to fall back into this mystical way of being. It is this emancipation of spirit in our lives. Spirit as universal is free. The soul at the universal level is free to express in any way. And we have this freedom of choice, freedom of being, to allow it to express through us the way that we desire. And when we don't intentionally make that choice, it expresses based on our subconscious, based on the collective subjective. And so it is really important to, I think, in this evolution of our teaching, as we are being urged and pushed towards not just how does this teaching work for me, how does this teaching work for all of us, as we move towards this all of us, this we mentality, it is really important to understand there is a collective consciousness and there is our own subconscious filter that we are needing to look at. And it is interesting how this shows up once you start paying attention to it. And of course, since I have been paying attention to it, it shows up all over the place. I was on a sitting on a panel yesterday for some grief circle facilitators. And at one point, somebody shared a story from their childhood of probably 50 plus years ago. And this was such an insight for me into an even clearer insight for me into how far we have come and yet how much work we have to do. And one of the things they said was around the death of someone really important to them was, I wanted so badly to talk to someone, to share and to cry. But back then, you were just shushed. There was no room for children to express emotions, to grieve, to express pain or cry. And I think in a lot of ways, there wasn't even room for children to show up to even speak or be seen at that time. And so thank God we've gotten to a place where that is mostly no longer true. That is no longer true in most places. And I think we are expanding so that is even less true. And yet we still have this in our subconscious, in our local subconscious and our collective subjective mind. This was still a point of pain for this person. This idea still exists. And so there is a healing to be done in this moment, not only for this person, but for all of us, that this memory, this idea still exists as a point of pain that we aren't necessarily allowed to show up in our full way of being. And whether that's true because I think it's true, or one of us thinks it's true, or because it's true because there is a collective idea of this being not true, there is certainly a weeding out that is looking to happen through all of us, whether it is about our own individual idea of how we are allowed to show up, those limitations from childhood, from our experience that say, no, stay in this box, please, for the comfort of others. Remain in this box that society says is comfortable and does not disturb anyone else. And I think we are beginning to kind of blow that box wide open, because life, the soul, is on this spiral of spiritual evolution that when we begin to awaken to these ideas, to these principles, we are this dot kind of circling around in ourselves. It's chaos. Everything is this tightly balled experience of awakening. And as we continue to become more and more aware, we begin to transform, and this ball begins to open up. And so our path begins to circle around a little bit wider, but also at this higher level, we have this higher perspective of life. And as that continues, it gets higher and even wider. And there is this spiral up and outwards from this point of perhaps pain and chaos. And so that is the soul's urge for us to evolve to freedom. We are evolving into this freedom, not only of understanding the freedom of the soul at the universal level, but understanding the freedom of the soul here for us now, that we are not meant to live in this ball of chaos and pain and whatever else goes on there in this unawakened state, or even this semi-awakened state of knowing there is this going on and not observing how this actually shows up for us in our life. Life is this mirror of our subconscious beliefs, of our collective beliefs, of this total system and memory of beliefs. And so when we look at this and we begin to take that step backwards from what is happening in our lives, we begin to feel this urge of the soul to express this greater sense of freedom here and now in this plane of existence that we know as life on Earth. And A few weeks ago, the topic was pushed by pain, and I think this is exactly what that is talking about, that we are pushed out of this snowball by this pain a lot of the times. And because of that, have a deeper appreciation and this ability to take this step back, to take this higher view and see what life looks like from this growing, evolving perspective. What has the world become for us when we see this? And I think what is happening, I know what is happening now currently in our world is we are witnessing this actually happening. And while it seems a lot of times that we are seeing the opposite of this, it seems like this devolution, if that's even a thing, what is actually happening is the chemicalization of this evolution. We are claiming this new identity as a whole, and everything unlike that is coming to the surface, kicking and screaming that it is not ready to be done. It is this collective ego, these individual ego ideas that if we get rid of these things, somehow we lose something important. Somehow we die. Some part of us dies. And while we know that is not true, there is certainly a pain attached to that chemicalizing of those thoughts and ideas. And when we follow this urge of the soul to move forward and upwards, there is this clearing of space, this clearing of a way of being that allows us to exist on this transformed plane of existence. Ernest Holmes says about this, "The spiral of life is upward. Evolution carries us forward, not backwards. Eternal and progressive expansion is its law, and there are no breaks on its continuity. It seems to me that our evolution is the result of unfolding consciousness of that which already is and needs but to be released, to be realized, to become fact in everyday life. The soul, this continuity of life, the ever-existing memory, that which is eternal, existing forever, and progressive and expansive in the way that it shows up here for us, is our natural way of being. And so simply we are moving along this evolutionary spiral in a way that encourages us and urges us to express a deeper and deeper sense of this all that there is, this true freedom of the divine here, now, not beyond us, but actually here and now. I think we often hear this expression that we are spiritual beings in a human experience. And while that is true, it is also important to realize that the human experience is a spiritual experience. So we are the spiritual essence, the spiritual being, putting our spiritual essence in this human, spiritually human experience, where we have the freedom to choose. And about this, Holmes says, "Why all the suffering, sorrow, and pain? Why has tragedy accompanied the journey of man?" It says man, of humans. Again, our imagination may answer this question in a somewhat plausible manner. There is no other way through which true individuality can evolve. We must be let alone to discover ourselves, else be compelled arbitrarily to find one road, in which case we would be an automaton and not an individual. So to bring this full circle, this subconscious way of being is not only existing, but necessary. This way through, finding our way through what shows up, this evolution is intentional in the sense that it is how we as life experience the divine with choice. So while suffering, sorrow, and pain are not necessary always, it is through this perception of separation, learning our way back to oneness is how we become the individual, how we understand individuality within wholeness. And so the application of this week is choice. It really comes down to choice. Soul is that which consistently invites us back to our truth, that which is the divine urge within us to continue evolving. And so to choose this intentionally, to realize this, and to choose a path of intentional evolution is an invitation for us to embrace new ways, ways that ask us to step out of our comfort zone and into ways that benefit the whole. This is, in fact, I think, an evolution of our teaching, really, that we take this these principles that we have applied to ourselves for so long and how our life looks and use this in a way that, how do I make my life look in a way that benefits everyone? How do we all use our lives to benefit everyone's life? So the invitation this week for each of us is, if we are willing, to embrace this journey of the soul, to be mindful of those moments where our soul seems to be calling us to choose between old ways, old habits, patterns, and a new way. And so simply, let's see if we can answer this question this week. Who would you choose to be in the world if you were the one to tip the consciousness of the planet? And by minding the call of the soul, we are consciously and intentionally choosing how we desire the world to show up anew. We're not just changing our lives anymore. It's not just about using treatment to treat for my scenario anymore. It is, how does me treating for myself and my awareness impact the larger whole of us and create a new world? It is the all of us, that we are this divine whole being in totality. The divine urge of the soul is to constantly pursue a path to a greater sense of freedom. We are being called to embrace a deeper, more mystical sense of the divine within this whole, to embrace our responsibility to each other, to truly create in a way that intentionally works for everyone. Who would you choose to be in the world if you were the one to tip the consciousness of the planet? And so what I know in this moment is that the consciousness of the planet is a whole. It is a collective whole of the all that there is. A divine and free way of being that embraces the totality, the wholeness of all of the individual pieces that make up this one organism that is life, that is this universe. And so I recognize the blessing that it is to know that we are each a piece of this whole. I am blessed and recognize this idea that we are evolving into a greater sense, a greater realization of our totality, our completeness, and our eternality. Our immortality as part of this whole, that we are here and show up as part of this greatest sense of being, that within us is this greater sense of freedom that we are pursuing here, not only for self, but for all, as cells of this greater being. We are all moving and evolving in the same direction, creating and living and breathing in the same direction. And so I recognize this blessing that each one of us has the choice and the opportunity to live and evolve and follow this soul's call to freedom, to express a greater sense of freedom everywhere for each one of us all at the same time. That by expressing my freedom intentionally, I get to express freedom and a greater sense for everyone. And by intentionally being part of this greater sense of freedom, I know that my choices, that our choices, our collective choices, are evolving how we show up here on this planet. And I am so grateful to know that we are the divine in expression, grateful to know that we have this choice, grateful to know that this idea of evolution is literally changing the makeup, the DNA, the history and the future of who we are, that we change thought through word. It is acted upon by law in every moment, and it is divinely perfect. And so in this gratitude, I simply let this be. I let this word go. I release this into the universe to be acted upon by the law in the most perfect way possible. I release this and let it go. And so it is. Thank you.
Thank you. That was great. I really enjoyed that, Reverend. This is a time that has been very special today. And I'd like to go back to prosperity that I spoke of before and have us share the affirmation of prosperity. Think now and read these words with me. I live in a world of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. You can give to the center through the center's website, and all the information that you have that you need is there. And we do appreciate donations, and there's just there it is on the bottom, cslmidtown.org. And we are blessed so much with the center, with people that are giving to us and that are supporting us. We just want to thank everybody. We want to thank all the people that are behind the scenes that bring this all together. We want to thank Reverend Bob for what he has put together here and for the wonderful things that are coming to the center. So announcements. Is that going to be myself or Vance? There we go.
I got it.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Lee. We got it. So there's a bunch of announcements. We had a great service. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Lee, for being the practitioner of the day. And so this is the end of the month for June, and we're headed into July next week. So our theme for July is Pulled by Vision, and Dr. Bob's going to be back with a talk titled We Hold These Truths. And this is the first Sunday of the month, even though it's a holiday. We'll do our birthday celebrations on that. So if you get a birthday in July, be sure to hop on the Zoom that day, and we'll celebrate your anniversary of your coming into this existence. So do that. Mark your calendar for this upcoming social event. We're all going to get together at 26 Thai. The information's in the newsletter. It's on the website. July 25th from 5 to 7. The center's sponsoring this, so we just want people to register, and there will be an e-vite going out for that if you're on our mailing list on that. And so watch for that coming up. Tuesday afternoons from 12 to 12:30, we've got a online spiritual empowerment session led by Reverend Dr. Bob. So if you need a checkup in the middle of the week, that's a great time to jump on. Share what we've got on Facebook. Share it to your friends, to your community. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We are broadcasting Sunday mornings on YouTube, and that's a great place for other people to come and hear about what we're doing, what we're sharing. And 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, we've got a discussion group, and they're going through the 365 Science of Mind, A Year of Daily Wisdom by Ernest Holmes. It's a great book. I read that every day, and it's a great way to start your day thinking up, for me anyway. Some people read at the end of the day, but you don't have to read. You can come just talk about and join in the discussion group. So that's at 10, same Zoom. The Zoom's at the bottom of this message, but it's on the website as well. And if you've got anything going on in your life that you don't seem to be able to handle on your own, reach out to a practitioner. That's what they're here for. They're here to help all of us support ourselves in our spiritual evolution. And if we're stuck in something down in what is this physical reality, and we're not able to raise our consciousness above that, that's what we've got all these practitioners here for. They're on the website. There's the link to the prayer treatment request, and the list of the practitioners is there as well to reach out to. So that's the end of the announcements. And we'll go on to our next section, which is the that's our affirmation of life. Here it is. So say this with me loud and proud, since you're not able to hear me. So, or hear, I'm not able to hear you. So say this out loud. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that flows through me. And so it is. Thanks, everybody, for being here. And for those of you that want to join us for a discussion on Zoom, jump over on the Zoom, and we'll see you there. Have a great week, everybody.